It's Party Friday here on the Chuck and Julie Show. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden. They say it's time of Corona, so you can't party. They say it's police brutality, you can't party. Let me assure you, somewhere around the world, there's something that if you don't want to party, it can cause you not to party. In which case, you'd never party. So party with us today for an hour. We got a great program on Party Friday.
Yeah, a lot of stuff coming up. Want to let folks know, too, you can get us at chuckandjulie.com. If you want to listen to us on Zoom, just go there. It'll send you right to there. Want to also give it a chance that we're almost 1,000 followers on Twitter. So that'd be kind of fun to hit. So it's chuckandjulie1 at Twitter. Love to have you follow us there. Show today brought to you by coloradocitizenpress.com. Doing great work on their blog site there. It's Colorado's Conservative Voice. I think it's a great idea to check that out. Here's what we got coming up today. Obviously, it's hard to even talk about like how much news there is today. We're going to have, and people who listen to our show are a big fan of this guy, Mark Poff, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator. He's going to be talking about the George Floyd situation on a number of fronts, about the training that officers go to, his ideas, our ideas, your ideas for maybe how do we solve this. The riots in Denver, I mean, a lot of stuff going on there. And then actually really good news to end the show with, we'll be talking with Juliana Day from the Due Date Too Late folks. They turned in, no matter. Polis tried to hamper them. Everybody tried to get in their way, but they did not do it. They turned in an additional 30,000 signatures today. They only needed 10. So we'll talk to her and see how that's going. Wow. We have now, it's the Weekly Minority Report with our favorite representative.
Our favorite party representative in both senses of the word, Patrick Neville.
Hey, Patrick, thank you for your time today.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Okay, so that's...
So all we need to do is on Thursday, go down to the Capitol, get 50-100 people, yell and scream and
spray paint stuff.
Spray, go after Leo Garcia's car, and we get the guys. You guys won't go come back for days and days and days. I mean, have we only known this before?
Well, but it's not.
Yeah, not quite the case. I mean, some of the reason too that's not being totally reported out there is the Capitol was filled up with CS gas last night because the ventilation system. We don't have a ventilation system right now because it's summer. We have a bunch of window unit, AC unit sitting out there. And so, you know, once they started releasing all that CS gas, then...
That would do it, yeah.
Might make the speeches be
I've been through a gas chamber a time or two when I was in the Army, but don't really care to do it again.
No, I've been tear gas covering
it. Julie's been tear gas many times covering it. I've been tear gassed twice being part of it, but so get all different sides of the
People don't know what we're talking about. So last night the protests turned into, and I think riot. Well, I don't know, Patrick. Maybe you know more than I. It's certainly chaos. The cars were broken at the state capitol. They spray painted it. They blocked I-25, which we were caught in.
Didn't realize that was
what was going on. And so in part as a result, they're saying they closed the state capitol. The RTD is shut down today. And now we're finding out that the main reason is just that we need new ventilation systems there too. And
one of the reasons. I mean, that's one of the legitimate reasons that I saw it. I'm like, okay, well, yeah.
Right.
And quite frankly, I didn't want to hamper the police's ability to use the CS gas either. So
right.
If they needed it today, I didn't want to say, oh, don't use it because I'm in the Capitol.
They have to
maintain order, then okay, I'm okay with that.
What's your take on the whole thing, though? I mean, the Capitol...
It's an interesting timeline, so I'll basically tell you guys what I know. So,
okay.
Basically started off what we know is like with 40-some-odd people, and it was somewhat peaceful. Those people started kind of marching away and going up Lincoln like they planned to. And then we heard that all of a sudden, Leslie Herod and Jonathan Singer wanted to speak to the crowd. So somehow they got this whole crowd to turn around
and
come and listen to speeches by Leslie Herod and Jonathan Singer.
And who are those?
Who are they?
Why don't you describe who the two people are?
Leslie Herod's probably one of the most, if not the most liberal legislator in the state house, at least.
Okay.
So they spoke, and then all of a sudden they started kind of getting ready to disperse again, and then shots were fired. Leslie Herod claimed they were shooting into the crowd. I've actually heard pretty good reporting that they were shooting at troopers who were observing the protest, the rally on the steps.
Oh.
And the rounds actually landed near the troopers. So I think it's very likely that troopers were actually the ones shot at. Or they could have even been, I mean, since I've been down at the Capitol, even my office kind of looks at where the safe injection site would have been.
Right.
I know I've heard two shootings just from within my office.
Right.
And I'm only there, 4 months out of the year, too, in
right,
my office.
Right.
So There's lots of shootings that happen down there, so who knows what it is, but where the bullets landed, it looks like they were probably shooting at the troopers.
Wow.
So then after that, things get crazy, and then that's when they start, they evacuated people into the Capitol, and apparently that's where people sheltered in place, and then that's when they started hammering cars and busting out cars. I think there were 6 patrol cars damaged. Obviously, Leroy Garcia's car was really damaged. And then they started basically blocking the streets, and that's when the CS gas and everything else started getting deployed. So,
right.
Totally nuts. I mean, and quite frankly, I think it was pretty well organized by Antifa.
Yes.
You saw some of the advertisements out there where they were saying, have you been watching the riot porn in Minneapolis?
I mean, the riot
who says
porn.
Who says that?
Right. Well,
Antifa.
And then they encouraged, they're like, we can't leave our other, what did they say, radicals, left behind. We got to go do something ourselves. And so Antifa basically encouraging it. There's even pictures across the country of people with earpieces showing this is very organized, and they wanted to get violent. And by the way, can't forget, they painted some hammer and sickle communist signs all over the Capitol.
Right.
Was that describing the
legislature under Democratic control, or was it, what was the symbolism there?
I don't know if it's not left enough form or what's.
Here's the thing, Patrick.
Even the governor in Michael Hancock, kind of at least very softly, I wasn't happy with their statements, but at least sort of kind of condemned the protesters from the state house, or not the protesters, the rioters. Let me be more accurate. Rioters.
Well, and you guys,
nothing from the state house has condemned him. Sorry, the conversations I was having last night about not returning today were more for the safety of the staff, safety of the members, stuff like that. And they made it all sound like, oh no, we're just trying to make room for the protesters. No, more about can we make
enough parking?
RTD
can do their job to actually maintain order. It wasn't so much about, oh, we just got to let the protesters protest.
Well, and here's the I've covered these things for decades, right? And so the riots are not new. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, the Broncos won a Super Bowl, right? And there were riots after that, right?
The hockey riots.
So there are always people who want to cause trouble. But Patrick, I think you hit it on the head. This anymore is very organized, and it's organized on a national scale, funded, I believe, by people like George Soros, the mayor of Minneapolis, I think it was the mayor, was saying that they think a lot of the people there who were rioting, they were not from Minneapolis. And I suspect that's probably true. We saw that
How would that freak show know?
We have seen that. And I think what happens is what they want to do is they want to in Denver, for instance, the Denver cops were initially in uniform, right? They keep the SWAT guys, the riot gear cops, around the corner because they know that looks bad and that could send a bad message. So what the crowd does, not everybody, but just a very few, but who stir it all up, they want to provoke the police into having to get the riot cops out there. They want those images. And I think it's done very specifically, and that's their goal.
It is. And yeah, the really disappointing part too is you have all these other folks that have been kind of provocateurs of this, the Ian Silveris of the Progress Now, the Owen Franklin Now, they won't condemn it. It's so dangerous at the Capitol because of COVID right now.
Right.
Well, you
have to, initiate remote voting and let legislators vote from their home, but then they won't condemn people coming to the Capitol to protest. And then I was watching Nine News last night. I was even disturbed. Just they were basically congratulating everyone for all the rioters. Well, they're wearing masks. Good for them.
Oh, well, they're wearing masks so they don't get identified. They were wearing masks.
There was any other reason for them wearing masks other than to hide their faces while they're smashing cars and causing
trouble.
I mean, that was the reason they're all wearing masks. It wasn't for their self-conscious, safety of fear of getting COVID.
No.
Well, let me ask you this. So you indicated the mayor of Denver, Mr. Hancock, gave some tepid criticism, saying, we should all, I'll join you. We'll all go out together to demonstrate, but we have to keep it peaceful. And you kind of go, well, wait a minute. Are you going to be demonstrating to have you removed from office? You've been mayor of Denver for over a decade, and you've done nothing about police brutality in Denver. You've done nothing about the system of police discipline. You've done nothing to clean up the system. I mean, is he going to sign a recall petition for himself? I mean, the idea I'll join you guys. You're the problem, Mr. Mayor. Amazing. just amazing.
Right, and the same people, you know, like Leslie Heard out there crying for civil rights, and then all of a sudden they'll turn around and pass red flag where they can no-knock rage you in the middle of the night.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, George Brocker, I mean, had a funny tweet. He was talking about Leroy Garcia, whose car was smashed, was saying, you know, but, you know, I understand these people, you know, that, you know, it shows just the lack of trust and faith and integrity in our law enforcement. And then he says, and I was evacuated into the state capitol when the shots were fired. And George Brockler tweeted, by those very law enforcement officers who you claim we have no faith and integrity in. It's like, so when they said, follow us to safety, he was right there, you know. Well, Patrick, let me ask you this. When I saw,
I don't know if you saw the videos too, when the shots rang out, and here you had the state patrol running towards the sound of gunfire, and then everyone else running away and taking orders from the state patrol. It was, well, hey, in this situation, they're not so bad. It's like, so don't paint every single police person with the same broad brush. I mean, I'm just as furious about what happened to George Floyd.
Right.
And I think that guy should be prosecuted, and I think he should go to jail for a very long time. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. But, yeah, I'm not going to paint every single police officer with that same brush. And I know plenty of police officers that are upset with what happened.
Oh, sure. We're going to be talking to one in a second.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you remember the riots in Minnesota at Minneapolis when the Australian woman, white woman, got shot down and killed by Mohammed Noor, a American Somali police officer? Were there any riots? No. I missed those riots. So it is amazing that our huge kind of industrial media machine has only one kind of death. That's black victim with white police officer. All the rest of them, you know, 10 people were shot last week in Chicago, black on black crime. Doesn't care about black on white, a black officer and a white person like Mohammed Noor. They don't care about any of it. It's only one story they like to cover. And
well, there are lots of different instances we can point to, right? I mean, well, I think we have at least two deaths of people getting had red flag orders being served on them.
Yes, good point.
Sort of crime. I think there was that homeless guy who was schizophrenic out in, I just want to say, California, who was just tased and tased over and over. I don't know if you watched that video where he's screaming for his daddy.
No,
he ended up dying. I mean, there's all sorts of videos like that.
My favorite one's down in Phoenix, where the guy had a paint gun, and somebody reported it was a real gun. They smashed down the door. He came crawling out, and they butchered him. But that was white on white. So
oh, yeah, there's that one, too. I mean, yeah, don't you remember that hotel room?
Yeah.
Right. Crawling, and then the guy just released them in the AR. I mean, yeah, there's all sorts of these incidences that we've been disturbed by, but it's not like we're going to paint every single police officer is bad because of it.
Right.
Well, I think that, let me ask you this. One of the things, and I want to get your take on how do we go forward from here, because it does seem that the corporate media and you have these progressive lefts get out there and they use this rather than trying to connect us and say, hey, look, we're all outraged about what happened. Instead, they turn it into a divisive issue, a racial issue. And you'd be, so, I mean, you know, and as a result, in part, you guys aren't able to do your job at the state legislature today. I mean, how?
That's not a bad thing.
Well, I know, but no. But I mean, do you, when you guys get together as lawmakers, can you even talk about this anymore? Or have things become so divided that, I mean, I don't know. Are they just that divided? Or is there hope, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Well, there is this division. I mean, that's the push. And like Leslie Heard is a big proponent of this. I mean, example, case in point, this week, we come back for the first time on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday morning, they're pushing forward a rule change with just a majority vote, which is pretty unprecedented because usually we do 2/3 vote. But they use the nuclear option to allow remote voting. And Republicans didn't like the idea of remote voting. What did Leslie Heard get up there? She got up there on the mic and accused us all of being racist.
Because what?
Black members from voting is what she was saying. And we needed to recognize that we were, the black people were being treated different through COVID than white people. And I was just shocked. I'm like, we're talking about remote voting. I never once thought of race. And here she's up there basically imputing our motives, saying that we're racist because we didn't want to do remote voting.
Well, so, I was.
I had several different other reasons of being opposed to remote voting and race. Never once single.
Well, I was a lobbyist down at the Capitol in 2000-2001, which was, you know, before it really got bad. But they hate, you know, the Republicans and Democrats hated each other. The only people who really talked was leadership would talk with each other because they had to, and it only made sense. But the average member really despise the average member from the other party, and certainly were spending all their time, if they could get them, see if they can get them arrested or criminally charged or whatever else. It wasn't, even 20 years ago, it was not a happy, can everybody get along atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's any better today or worse today. I can't really speak.
I think it's worse because those, you know, the Democrats then were nowhere near as far left as some of the ones in the Capitol now.
And I think, let me ask you this, Patrick, one of the reasons I think they pivot back to racism is
it works.
It causes, it creates all kinds of other issues and problems when they bring that up. But I think what happened is okay, so the Mueller report didn't work. They couldn't get rid of Trump there. The COVID crisis, Trump, I mean, he's still there, right? The numbers are not, he didn't crash and burn. They're pivoting, I think, back to racism, right? You want to
they
do this
always
racism.
Do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I just think it's a playbook. And I think, you know, I think that what happened yesterday, and I really believe this was in part orchestrated by not everybody there, but by a lot of people there to get the exact results that they got. I think it's orchestrated in Minneapolis. It was orchestrated in all the other cities where it happened too.
Yeah, I mean, we really did accomplish something. I mean, the protests accomplished nothing other than total destruction. I mean,
right.
It could have easily been peaceful. I mean, look at how many protests we had at the Capitol protesting the closures and the shutdowns.
Right. Oh, but those were
three of them with
selfish people, Patrick.
No, those were Klan members.
Ignorant, selfish people.
Yeah, we know those people.
That's what gets
a small. I mean, what did they say on 9 News too? A small minority of people, and those. I think we had even more people there, but it was peaceful. I think the only incident I even heard of during that whole time was one guy not knowing that open carry wasn't actually allowed in Denver, and he stepped on the sidewalk. And he got arrested. But other than that, I mean, we had thousands and thousands of people there, and it was totally peaceful. The only disruptors there were the fake people, the Antifa folks that were blocking
crowds. Right. We've got Barney on the line. I know he likes to talk to you, so let's bring Barney on up. Hey, Barney, happy Friday to you.
Hey, Chuck and Julie and Patrick, I don't think any of you are going to like me today. But
we always like you.
Hey, you know what? Tiger would like me, so
yeah,
what?
Dog. Yeah.
So first up, when Mark comes on, you let him know that I know his brothers in law enforcement probably won't take the woman out that killed that little boy, Gannon. But you just let him know that when I go to hell, I'll be there, and I'm going to take that woman's face off. Because I know El Paso County, Dan Mays, is going to screw that up. But that's beside the point. So let's talk about the rights. And just please listen to where I'm coming from. I'm not a black guy. I know a few blacks. That's it. For example, I'm in North Carolina. There's a guy that's got Jesus on his belt buckle, and every word out of his mouth was N-word. And he's a preacher. So the one thing I'm going to say, and Chuck, I got to say this to you.
Okay.
This is kind of us against them, because we sit here, you said what you said, and oh my God, the end of the world's coming. But Washington, D.C., there's plenty of guys like me that would love to go into Congress with a ball bat. How's that? Is that better? Because we can't stand you guys. We can't stand what you say. You lie through your teeth. Republicans, Democrats, you're all actually, a rhino Republican is a scum of the earth. But anyway, Patrick, you got to go with these people feel like they have, I hate the looting. I hate tearing down. I hate property damage. I hate it. I despise it. I really would rather someone would just get their teeth kicked in. We can't do that. I'm talking about the politicians and not you. But these people, after seeing this video, this is it. This is a game changer. So prior to the Arizona one that Chuck brought up, I'd have to say that was pretty much the end of it for me, giving cops the benefit of the doubt. Even though I know these are all anecdotal, you know, you have 20 incidences with 325 million people. I know that, but the people don't see it that way. All we see is us against them. And them are the politicians that don't go to jail, like what they did with Trump. I will guarantee you nobody's going to jail. So the blacks are sitting there seeing this guy murdered, who was a decent guy, regardless of whether he was a drunk or whatever, it doesn't matter. The guy's a good man. And they, you know, you hear someone yelling in the background, hey, you're a bum. You're a bum. Get off of him. They won't get off him. They watched him die. That cop murdered this man. And apparently Minneapolis doesn't have a problem with cops that are bad. They stay on the force. They have. He's been involved in other shootings. I'm just saying, I don't like the rioting, but I honestly get that these people have nothing else. They figure that all they have is to put a brick in their hand. Some of them are drunk. Some of them do damage just because they love it. And yes, Antifa's probably steering it in the right direction. They've got a handle on that. But I'm just saying, the people that are bent out of shape, a lot of this comes from their heart, and they've had it. And this last video, this is a game changer, because guys like me are saying, we're not giving the cops the benefit of the doubt. They picked a battle. Now we have a big, fat, stinking war, and it's because time after time these shootings happen and nothing's done. The DA comes out and says, well, we have a video, but we need more evidence. If I had a video on me like that, I'd be in jail. So we just, we see a difference.
Well, he is in jail now. He's been arrested. He's been arrested.
I know.
Well, and part of the reason he's not in jail, too, let's be reminded of the fact that Amy Klobuchar was the prosecutor when he was actually involved in that shooting and chose not to prosecute it.
Well, let me get this one. And so Amy Klobuchar says it's a lie. It's a lie that I let him go. She says, what we did in Minnesota, whenever we got a police brutality or shooting or whatever else, we presented it to the grand jury. We gave them all the evidence,
and they'd give the decision.
And so every case she did, everyone, there was no. Wait a minute, let me finish it. Every one of these, they were found not chargeable. Every one, she had like 12. Now you can indict a ham sandwich. You can indict a ham sandwich. So she had 12 cases, and not one grand jury thought that they ought to charge an officer. I mean, she's either massively incompetent, and she doesn't appear to be that way, or she was just a corrupt prosecutor, and she was a corrupt prosecutor. They made sure they gave lousy presentations, and they did it desultorily, and the grand jury can tell when the prosecutor wants to charge or not charge, and they never charged it. It's a condemnation of her more than anything.
And Barney, it's kind of funny
watching the liberals. They're going to end up and die because of some of this. Just like Kamala Harris, we know what she did to the blacks. It's kind of funny how they did what they did, and they're actually going to pay a price for it. An unintended consequences is what they're going to pay for. But I would say, too, though, the cops have a low standard. They can get away with a lot. They get a lot of leeway in dealing with things. But you're right. My girlfriend, Amy,
she
dropped the ball.
We're going to have to let you go.
Good call. Thanks.
Right. Love you guys. Sorry, Patrick. I still love you, buddy.
Okay.
All right. And stay listening.
He's got a pretty good point there, guys. I do think that, you know, what he was saying about there's a lot of folks that came there with the right intentions.
Right.
And actually, they just want to protest and actually, you know, be there peacefully. But then you have Antifa, who drives it in this totally different way. And then you have these legislators who do nothing to encourage it or discourage it. So you have Leslie Herod, who's kind of she's not condoning the violence. She's not condoning the vandalism. The House leadership is not doing the same thing. And then if you contrast that to, I know when I was there for the Reopen Colorado rally, the first one we had, I actually saw Captain Haley, the head of the State Patrol at the Capitol, and as things were going on, and I told him, I said, hey, look, I want things to be peaceful here. If you need my help in any way to de-escalate any situation that might pop up, I'm here. Let me know. I'm here to help you. He didn't need my help. But again, we had three of those protests, and like I said, I think there was one person who was arrested because he stepped on Denver property while he's open carry.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's the responsible way to do that. And you contrast it to this, and they don't want to call out the Antifa folks because they're worried the Antifa folks will get mad at them, because that's how far left the Democrats have gone.
Well, let me ask him one question, though. You're watching Channel 9 News tonight because you like Kyle Clark so much? Is that the key to your viewing habits?
No, I rarely watch news, and so it was like 9:30, and I actually flipped through, I think, all the other channels. And for some reason, I wasn't getting 31. I think they were the only one still on at 9:30. And so we were getting all sorts of information back and forth of what was happening in the Capitol. And so I flipped it on just in that. It wasn't my first choice.
We have to let you go. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. We love having you on every time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Take care.
And now we're going to bring up, and Barney, if you're still listening, you're going to be surprised at what's going to happen, because actually we agree with you to a great extent. Let's bring up now, and Mark, if you want to unmute yourself and video, turn your camera on. There you go.
There you go.
He's our go-to guy, Mark Poff, former El Paso County Sheriff Investigator. Let's just jump right into it, because we went a little bit long with Patrick. we were talking earlier today, and you were talking about the training that you guys receive. Let me have you walk through what you guys are trained to do and not do in a situation like we saw with George Floyd.
Right. And that's why, you know, when I actually saw the video, I heard about it first, and I'm always used to the mode of, well, I got to see the video because there's two sides to every story.
Right.
And then I watched the video and I was just stunned. I didn't even really know how to process it as to come up with, well, what was he thinking? But the thing is about training, and this, you get this in basic training in every state. There's post-certification in almost every state in the United States that you go through, and you do defensive tactics. And I will tell you what he did is definitely in the training. But they actually stop the training, and they make sure multiple times you never put your knee on their neck. The training is to put your weight or your knee on their back.
Right.
Because it is a good way to restrain someone, because you can use your weight. And normally when you do that, you're placing them in custody and you're putting them in handcuffs.
Right.
Now, this guy was already in handcuffs.
Right.
So I don't know. There's still some more. I know that they said that he was actually in the cruiser and they yanked him out of the cruiser is what I heard. But it doesn't matter what led up to it. It doesn't matter what happened after it. The bottom line is, I mean, law enforcement is specifically trained, and I've received this training multiple times, and I know everybody in law enforcement has been told numerous times, when you do that maneuver, you've got to ensure that you don't put your knee on their necks, because you will kill them. And what I really also found disturbing was there was actually an observer, another law enforcement officer, who's standing over top, and he's looking right, and like you can almost see him tilting his head to look down to see exactly what's going on down there. And he can specifically, I mean, he can see that this officer's knee is on this guy's neck. Plus he's saying, I can't breathe.
Right.
Which is usually a pretty good indication.
That's not a bad one. Yeah.
But actually in law enforcement, you know, a lot of the responses you'll get from cops when someone says, look, I can't breathe. They said, well, obviously you can, because you just said something.
Well, that's what they said. Somebody said, don't worry about it. He's talking.
And that's what law enforcement, I've heard multiple officers say that.
Well, but
they typically don't have their knee on their necks.
Right.
I mean, that's just overwhelming. And, you know, I have to tell you, you know, this guy, I guess, was a veteran of like 19 years. He's had other events.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you got to wonder, what were these other events that led up to this? Typically, what I've found over the years, I was a cop for 17 years, is they become more brazen. The ones who are a problem become more brazen as they get more seniority. Yes. And if they get away with things, hey, you know, I just did this and look what happened. All I got was a letter of reprimand and I'm still good to go.
Right.
So they tend to be more brazen. And the younger officers tend to not want to question. And I will tell you, that is definitely going on in law enforcement. Is the newbies or the newer, less seniority officers, they think twice before they say a word.
Well, I want to talk about that, because I think we talked earlier, but this has long been, because I've, again, covered a bunch of these things too, and it's long been my feeling that part of the problem in situations like this, I mean, and there are multiple, and we'll get into David Lane had a great editorial in the Denver Post that I want to talk about. But tell me what your sense is on this. So you have this guy, he's a 19-year veteran, right? He's now charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. Three other officers who were there have been fired, but none of the other officers said anything. And I've seen that before in cases where officers witness something bad, right? And I think there is this culture there, and you correct me if I'm wrong, where you just don't say anything, right? It's like, don't second guess him, don't judge
him. Well, there's a reason for that. It's a military command. If you go up against your officers in any time military command, and for whatever reason, it doesn't stick, or even if it does, you've destroyed your career. You have destroyed your career.
And I will definitely tell you, that's probably one of the issues in law enforcement, is if you're a tattletale, a snitch, you know, they, even if you're, I mean, you're doing it for the right reason.
Right.
That will get around and you will be ostracized by the others.
Yes.
That's probably something that really needs to be dealt with, because really that officer, when he came over and he tilts his head and he looks down,
right,
he should have tapped him on the shoulder and said, dude, the guy's handcuffed.
Right.
Just stand up. You know, and now if he's actively resisting, and you can actively resist in handcuffs.
Right.
You need to see his feet. Is he kicking? Is, you know, what is he doing? It didn't look like that, but to be honest with you, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter at that point. You still can't put your knee in his neck. It,
right.
You know, it has to be in their back and their upper shoulder area. And so there's no way to defend what he did. So I'm kind of concerned about the other three as well. It looked like from the part of the video I saw that the other two were kind of like dealing with his legs or something.
Right.
So I wonder if he was actively resisting or kicking or whatever.
Well, if you're choking, if you're starting to choke to death, you might want to move your legs a little.
Well,
I don't know. I would.
You might start kicking.
Yeah.
And I think, but Mark, your point is, though, that every officer there had been trained to not put the knee on the neck, whatever else.
And they should have seen it.
Right.
The one officer who, I mean, he looked right at it.
Right.
He should have tapped him on the shoulder and just leaned over to him, you know, and quietly so no one else could hear, hey, dude, you need to get your knee off of his neck. But I'd like to know how much rank that guy, you know, how long seniority he had.
Right.
You know, if he'd been on the force for 3 years and this guy's been on for 19.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, it takes a unique person to be able to stand up, no matter how long they've been on the force, to say, you know what, that was wrong, you know.
How do you go about changing that culture, though, Mark? Because I think that is a key part of this, right? Where, you know, the peer pressure, whatever word you want to use, where when officers see other officers doing bad things and things that are wrong, I think there has to be more, not protection or something, but I mean, there has to be, I think, a culture created where it can be talked about and addressed.
And even at a kind of almost sub silencio, you don't have to bring public charges. You don't have to bring anything else. But the leadership in the force comes to somebody like that who's had a couple and say, you have a couple more of these, and you'll be off the force.
Let's maybe go over the training stuff again.
It's like everything else. You know, somebody said, Julie also points out, if there are 100 robberies in a neighborhood, there aren't even 100 robbers. There are like 5 robbers doing 20 each. Well, in police departments, I mean, the vast majority of police officers are great guys. They really are. But there's always a cadre that are rotten. And if you allow the rotten ones to continue, they get more brazen and they will create enormous problems.
And I will tell you, they all have a pattern, a history, a pattern. It seems like every time, you know, when I worked at the El Paso County Sheriff's Office, I would see certain deputies, and it's like we'd all be joking, you know, that, okay, it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
something would happen, they'd get in trouble, you know, and then they'd survive it, and then they'd be good for about 6 to 9 months, and then something else would happen. And it usually will cost an agency a great deal of money at the end.
Yes.
When they finally do that last thing that gets them fired, it's usually $1 million payout. This is going to be multi-million. I mean, it is.
Here's the thing, Mark. You know, it's just, the point is, too, it's not really the departments that end up paying. It's the taxpayers, right?
Well, exactly. It is the taxpayers.
That's what I want to ask you about. David Lane, who's a civil rights attorney.
Who I'm not a big fan of. But he wrote a great article.
And I mean, I've covered him. He does the bulk of the police abuse of force or excessive force, whatever, lawsuits. Right. And he has long said, every time I interview him, he's like, I go to city council, and he wrote in the editorial today, y'all click, you go, oh, too bad, tut, 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 that's terrible, terrible, terrible. And then you hand out a check. His suggestion is that police officers, that they change the rules and the laws, and want to get your take on this, so that police officers could be held at least somewhat liable in, say, a civil suit, right? Now, you can't, obviously, police officers don't have millions of dollars, but he said if you take away the complete lack of accountability and lack of liability.
And he said the internal investigations in Denver are a joke.
Right.
What do you think about that?
You know kind of how I feel, knowing that I know some individuals down in El Paso County that were wrongfully persecuted or prosecuted by Dan May and Bill Elder down in El Paso County. So I definitely agree. Whenever you say absolute immunity, there's only one person that should have absolute immunity, and that's God.
Yeah,
no one else on this planet should have absolute. I mean, how can you even use that term, absolute immunity? So does that mean you can go out and just shoot someone and say, well, they've got absolute immunity? They should all have limited immunity, which states that if a law enforcement officer is acting in good faith, then they're protected. But when you see things like what Dan May did and Mark Hurlburt, when they went after Terry Makita and, more importantly, John St. Augustine, when they knew that there was no way that John St. Augustine committed this crime, but yet their statement is, we'll let a jury decide. And then 3 weeks before the jury, after they've ruined his life for 18 months, Mark Hurlburt goes in and says, we'll just want to dismiss all the charges. And then when it goes to a federal lawsuit, they just go, we've got absolute immunity. And the judge, I mean, if you see the ruling and what the judge said, I mean, he almost just said, my hands are tied. I know these guys are corrupt. I know what they did was wrong, but you can't do anything.
Well, I can promise you in the law, you always can do something if you want to. If you want to, what you do is, because you got a qualified immunity. Police officers do not have absolute immunity. They have qualified immunity. And same with investigators. District attorneys and judges have absolute immunity. But that absolute immunity can be breached if they engage in part of the investigative work. So you just try hard enough to say, no, you were not in a prosecutorial role on this particular action. You were acting more like an investigator, and therefore your immunity is only qualified, and you got rid of it. And so the judge did allow the one poor schmuck who has only qualified immunity, but he did allow a conspiracy charge, which will allow them to take the depositions.
And the good news with, kind of to talk about John's case is, the judge is going to allow everybody to be deposed. So Sheriff Bill Elder is going to have to answer, and Dan May is going to have to answer, and Hurlburt's going to have to, going to have to raise their right hands, and if they get jammed up and they lie, then it could be problematic for them.
But that doesn't matter.
Let me bring it back. Well, we could do a whole show on that later, because that's coming up in July.
Right.
To bring it back to this, what I see happen sometimes is because of liability issues. So you'll see bad cops, right, who do bad things. I've seen cases where they actually get an award, right? Because in the city, they want to say, oh, no, the city doesn't want to be sued or have to pay if it goes outside of the training and blah, blah, blah. So they're like, no, this is all by the book, totally by the book.
By the book.
It may look bad to you stupid civilians, but this is how we do things here. In fact, we even gave the guy an award because they want to try to avoid liability. And I think it goes back to, again, you see city councils just sign the checks. They get out there, they make big speeches about how horrible this is and how they stand with the protesters. And then they write a check, and there's no accountability to anybody. There's no penalty. And the cop, as you said, stays right there.
But Rand Paul is trying
What happened last night in Minneapolis? They had all these riots and stuff and all this damage. Well, the police chief, that afternoon basically said, we're not going to do anything. Yeah. So they made a conscious effort to not enforce the laws in Minneapolis last night.
Right.
Because probably they didn't like how it was going to look.
Right.
So for them to enforce the law was not going to socially look right to their constituents. So they let everybody just break the law. And then they walk around and just say, well, this is terrible.
Yeah. Right.
Someone should have done something. That's why you have cops.
They should do that on I-25, right? They should say, everybody's speeding here. We're just going to let them speed. We're not going to force the law. I was saying, the woman who, there's a lot of videotape out there, and the police are looking for her, and I'm sure they know who she is already, who it looks like she kind of, the guys are jumping on her hood, and she speeds.
On the minivan.
Right. Now, I said to Chuck this morning before, and I take it back because they did charge the Minneapolis officer, but I said, you watch, they'll go after her, right? But the cops won't have anything done to them. I'm glad at least to see in Minneapolis that they have charged this cop with third degree murder and manslaughter. I'm glad to see they didn't try to overcharge him, because that gets harder to prove.
No, that if you want to get a cop off, charge him with first degree murder, because you can almost get nothing else. Yeah, right. No lesser included, just first degree murder. That's a prosecutor who wants to get the cop off.
Well, Mark, and what does this do for the cops? As we said, again, when cities let the rioting go on, when we have legislative leaders who come out and say, we stand in solidarity with this, when you have, Minneapolis, I guess they've declared a curfew. How does that, to me, that just makes everything worse.
Yes. I mean, there's no way you can defend what this guy did.
No.
But people of responsibility, like the mayor of Minneapolis, the chief of police, they have responsibilities to the community, and they failed last night. I mean, they just completely failed.
Right.
And they knew it was coming. I mean, it's like you could even plan for it. But it's devastating. I will tell you, this whole situation is devastating to law enforcement. Sure. Because of that one bad person or two or three bad cops in a completely different state, there's going to be a cop in Colorado, in Nevada, in New Mexico, and in Texas who's going to get hurt because of what happened that had nothing to do with them. You know, most cops will say, look, you know, judge me on me. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. You know, I've never had any IAs. You know, I've always, you know, tried to do what's right. And they could get hurt or even killed because of his bad actions. And let me give you an example. You know, the infamous traffic stop.
Right.
So a cop pulls somebody over on the interstate. And let's say they're minorities or whatever. And now, because of just things that have happened, they make some poor decisions. And the whole situation gets out of control. And maybe that cop gets hurt or somebody gets hurt. So people respond. It's the same thing, you know, I was saying about the shooting down in Colorado Springs that I didn't right. like, is they're so concerned about with Black Lives Matter. I told you, they should have put that kid in the dirt
right from the beginning
at gunpoint, and everybody would have gone home alive.
Right.
But instead, they wanted to, they changed from doing a felony contact to what they did,
right.
and this kid ended up getting shot. So right. These scenarios are
We're talking with Mark Poff, an El Paso County investigator, former one, is also on a school board and has his own consulting business. And he's a wealth of knowledge on all these subjects.
Knows a little bit of everything. And Mark, to me, it seems like, and this is where the politicians, I think, get involved. There's sort of two separate things. What the police officer in Minneapolis did pretty clearly, I think, was wrong. And I think it's good that he's being charged with a crime. On the other hand, though, that doesn't mean, so now we can go riot and destroy public property and break lawmakers' cars and, you know, loot businesses and destroy businesses and set a city on fire. They're two separate things. And I think right. it's really the politicians who merge them.
Yeah. And you know, there's such a big problem because how long do you think it's going to be before Target reopens that store?
Oh.
They may never reopen that store.
Right.
And so... And also, you know, we should be focusing on Mr. Floyd and what happened. But instead, now we have all of these riots. These are not protests. I like the other guy who said, these are not protests.
Yeah.
These are riots.
Right.
And they are causing all kinds of harm. And so now we're focused on that. And yeah. it's just blowing the whole thing up. And, you know, what I'm kind of interested in is, why were they protesting? I mean, because it took too long to arrest them. And see, I understand that. I've worked on numerous homicides. And I understand as soon as you charge someone, nobody talks after that.
Right.
So I think personally, they were trying to get everybody's story. They're bringing those cops, the other cops in. They're getting everything and putting their case. They knew they were going to charge them.
Yes.
Okay.
But they wanted to get everything together to make sure they did it right, that there was no mistakes. Were they just impatient that, okay, this guy's free for two more days?
I think there would have been riots if they arrested him immediately.
Right.
I think
exactly. Because the two... are not related.
Right.
You know, what they're doing is they're dealing with the situation right. They've arrested him for manslaughter, which is what it is.
And third degree
right.
murder.
But yeah, I mean, we don't have third degree in Colorado, so I don't right. know anything right. about that. But it's definitely
depraved indifference to life. Showing,
reckless behavior.
Yeah,
and that's what he did. What he did was reckless, no doubt. I don't think he intentionally wanted to kill this person.
But he wasn't too worried about it. He figured he's just going to be
and
unconscious.
And you know, if you look in his, and I hate to judge and try to get in somebody's head.
Oh, yeah.
But when I looked at him, he's looking around, it's like he just didn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to do something about it?
I just got that look, and maybe I'm reading it wrong.
No, I think a lot of people got that exact same impression. That's not a good look.
This wasn't a person to him.
Yeah.
It's like this wasn't a life underneath him. He didn't care about this guy or his well-being. I'm sure he didn't want to kill him.
Right.
But the bottom line is, he just didn't care. And if you right. reach that point as a cop, I mean, why do you become a cop? I became a cop because I wanted to help people who couldn't help themselves. And if you reach that point that you just don't care anymore, then get out of the business.
Hey, listen, Mark, we're going to have to let you go. We got one other guest to come
up. We'll have to get you back. We want to hear more about John Zane Augustine.
I also want to tell you about the mother, the Stouch because they did screw that up, and I can tell you a whole bunch about that and how a couple deputies actually fought her in a car driving down the interstate.
Oh, wow.
Okay, we'll get you back with Mark Boff. Okay, Mark, thank you for your time. Appreciate
it. Take care, Mark.
Take care. What we want to do now is we want to end the show with some good news. Okay, so we had
a mass murder, rape, people skinned alive, and some other good stuff that you'll enjoy.
We have Duane live from, I think, the Secretary of State's office, Juliana Day, with the due date too late movement and petition drive or ballot initiative. So, Juliana, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Okay. Thank you so much for the invitation. Yeah, those are the amazing news for everybody just to hear. And a big thank you for all the people that got involved, that came together and signed a petition, volunteer, the media. There are so many people that I need to thank. And this is just incredible news because we needed 9,985 signatures for this cure period.
Right.
And we were able to gather 48,932.
I can hear the excitement in your voice. You are great.
How many did you get originally?
We got almost 138,000.
But I mean, this is a cure period to get, you know, almost more than a third just in the cure period is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. So this is a ballot initiative that would basically, why don't you explain what this would do first, and then we can back into how you guys have just done such a phenomenal job here. So what would this, because people, it looks like, are going to be voting on this in November, almost for certain now. So what would this do?
Yes, and I'm very positive that with that number, and I want the listeners to keep in mind that this has been accomplished in technically has been 14 days. We were able to gather almost 49,000 signatures. Initiative 120, that I'm certain is going to be on the ballot, is about banning late-term abortion. Late-term abortion, that means banning after 22 weeks into the pregnancy. It's when the baby feels pain and the baby is already viable. We're talking about 5.5 months into the pregnancy. So the woman is not going to be penalized at all. So this is something very reasonable. We can agree that having late-term abortion, just having an abortion until the moment of birth, is just too extreme. There's only 7 states in the entire United States that allows this type of abortion, and Colorado is one of those. In fact, when I've been getting together with the community, everybody's in shock.
Right.
A lot of people, they don't know that it's so extreme to have this type of abortion.
So what you guys did is you were able to gather the first 120,000. You needed to go back because some of them were tossed out for a variety of reasons. You only needed to get 9,000. You got like 48,000.
So and you only have volunteers.
And this is all volunteers, all right? Volunteers? These are not paid people doing this, right?
It's been very few. We're talking about just a little bit higher than 400 signatures that we got from paid circulators.
Okay.
So the majority, we're talking about 400 out of 48,132 signatures. So it was mainly all volunteers.
Right.
People that were so passionate and they came together. And this is just comes across party lines, and they've been Republicans, Democrats, pro-choice, pro-life.
How long did you have to get the signature?
All religious. Only 15 days during the cure.
That's unbelievable.
And during the lockdown, right?
And it was during the lockdown, the governor made sure that you couldn't have electronic signatures and stuff because he doesn't like your proposal. But you got... That had to be the greatest effort in signature gathering ever. I mean, 15 days. God.
Yeah, incredible, because it was against all odds. And I want to give credit to the one who did it, who made it possible. And that's God, first and foremost. He made it possible. So this has been an incredible effort by so many people that got involved. And just to do it against all odds, because we, as you mentioned, it was the lockdown. We were trying just so hard and to use different ways just to be so creative and to get these signatures for the listeners too, and to know that there was an executive order that in the middle of the night Governor Polis signed. It was Executive Order 065 that allowed different people that have this type of petitions to gather signatures online and by mail, with the exception of our petition.
Yeah,
that was one exception, and you can even read it. It's directive K.
I mean, it's clear he tried to, and you still, and talk a little, just a couple more questions for you.
How many volunteers did you have gathering signatures?
Oh my gosh, during the first wave of signature collection, we were almost 1,000 volunteers, and now within just at least half of it. But there are so many people mobilizing, the ones that we've been just directly contacting, but there's been a lot of people getting involved. Like I said, it's been the media people like you guys. I appreciate so much because the media has a big voice and I can reach out to a lot of people, and it's been volunteers and the people who contributed using social media and all over, young, old, and different groups, organizations, and it's been incredible. For me, it's just so moving to see how the system works in the United States that allows this type of, just to give us a voice and to express it. That's what I was so disappointed when I heard that because we have a different point of view, Governor Polis decided to silence us. That is not right because we have rights. We can disagree, but this is not the right way. And just to sign an executive order and just to discriminate against our group is just wrong.
But it didn't make any difference.
It backfired.
Let me, kind of a final question for you here, and then I'll let you go because hopefully you guys, and now you can even go to a restaurant and celebrate.
Right.
But this is just step one, right? Now we got to get, because you know Planned Parenthood, they're going to pull out the big guns to fight you in November.
Yeah, you're going to have to do some ballot collecting if you're going to win in Colorado.
Right. So how can people continue to help? Because this is just the first step.
Yes, please. Feel free to contact me because this is just the beginning. My cell phone number is 708.
Oh, wait, no, you know what? Don't do that. You know what? Don't give your cell phone number out. I don't want to do this. This is going to go over the universe, okay? So.
Oh, no, that's okay. Everybody.
Okay.
All right. You can make
my cell phone number in the speed dial.
Okay. Right,
everybody's been contacting me. So I have no problems, and I actually encourage people and start a conversation because this is about love, compassion, no judgment. So many women suffer a great deal. I directly embrace these women that had abortions and how much they regret it. So for me, I feel very deeply that we need to start this conversation. So I don't mind. I purposely just seek for women that are pro-choice and have this conversation. And I appreciate all the people who were who are pro-choice and engaged me in this conversation. I thank them, everybody. It's been amazing. So just check duedatetoolate.com. That is the website. And send me an email at julianaday33@gmail.com. And Juliana is GIULIANADAY33@gmail.com. And like I said, I don't mind. They can call me or send me a text message, preferably at 720-899-0897. And we can start a conversation and come together as a, so this, you know, this state is just so wonderful. And we can start a dialogue and just having a conversation because we are all concerned about women, children, men and everybody, because this is an issue that really affects society. And if we see it from a point of view of love, compassion, and no judgment, everybody wins.
Juliana,
well,
thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Yep, you guys did a great job. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
All right, Juliana Day, check that out. Due Date Too Late.
I want to speak for a moment on our other sponsors, Synergenics and Julie McCallum. You know, men and women really don't realize they have the power to take control and manage their aging process. You know, it's too easy to go, well, I'm just getting old, you know. And the answer is, well, you've got ability to slow down that process to make your life more full and enjoyable and happy. Julie McCallum's passion is to see her patients living healthy and fulfilled lives. And those patients include myself and Peter Boyles and a lot of other people. You can get a free consultation. You can work with Julie directly. You're not going to be talking to third parties necessarily. You can talk to her absolutely directly. And her number is 720-387-3681. That's 720-387-3681. Or just go to Cenegenics, CENEGENICS.com. You'll be glad you did. And tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
That's right. And hey, that's going to wrap it up for us on this Friday. I want to thank everybody, Patrick Neville, Juliana, Mark Poff.
We've had great guests. That's so 42,000. That makes it a party Friday.
That's right.
That's unbelievable.
I want to ask folks, if you haven't yet, go to chuckandjulie.com. From there, you can catch all of our other podcasts, previous podcasts, or listen live. If you would, we'd love it if you would go ahead and follow us on Twitter, Chuck and Julie One on Twitter, and also click on the little YouTube icon and subscribe to us on YouTube. We're trying hard to get up to 1,000 subscribers there. Got a ways to go, but then we can start carrying things live, do even more with you. As always, chuckandjulie.com gets you everywhere you need to go. And thank you once again to the great guys at BBS Radio. None of this is possible without them.
The D guys. Monday, we'll talk about lots of great things, including the Kislyak phone records are out, which will be just...
And the Russia hoax.
The Russia hoax and a lot of other great topics. And we'll see how much of Denver's burned down over the weekend.
No.
Well, we never know, Julie. Come on. You can't be a Pollyannish about everything. All right. Thanks, everybody. Have a great Party Friday and Party Weekend. Take care.